ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। दादी जानकी डजंट स्टॉप टिल एवरीवन हैज सेड इट। सो टुडे इज अ वेरी स्पेशल डे। It's the day when we shall be meeting Avyakt Bap Dada. But in order to really enjoy this meeting, we have to understand the complete background. Because a newcomer, if he comes and sits in the gathering of 30,000 people, he will not understand anything. And therefore, to take maximum benefit, we need to understand the background of the meeting we are going to have today. We say, Avyakt Bap Dada. First of all, we understand the meaning of the very word Bap Dada. It is a very special code word of the Brahma Kumaris. A new person will never be able to understand what this word means. Of course, it's a Hindi word, and literally it means father and grandfather, or it means father and elder brother, because the word Dada has two meanings in Hindi. Bap has only one meaning, father, but Dada has two meanings. One meaning is that it is another name for grandfather. So it's father and grandfather. And when we say father and grandfather, what do we mean? Brahma Baba, our father, and Shiv Baba, our grandfather. Because Shiv Baba says, I have only one child, and that is Brahma Baba. And Brahma Baba says, my father is also Shiv Baba. And therefore, Shiv Baba is the father of Brahma Baba. And we are the children of Brahma. If Brahma is the only son of Shiv Baba and we are his children, then Shiv Baba is our grandfather. So, Bap Dada means Brahma, Brahma is father, Dada is as Bap, and Dada is Shiv Baba, the grandfather. But then Dada also means elder brother. In some communities in India, this word Dada means elder brother. And Dadi means elder sister, in Sindhi language in particular. Dadi, when we say Dadi Janki, Dadi Prakashmani, so Dadi here means elder sister. So Sindhi people, they call elder sister Dadi. And Hindi people, they call elder sister Didi. So Didi Nirmala, Didi Sudesh, elder sister. And Dadi means also in Sindhi language, elder sister. It's not that one who's very old is Dadi and one who's little younger is Didi. Not like that. Both mean elder sister. But Dadi is more respectable word for an elderly person. That means an elder sister. And Dada means elder brother, especially in Sindhi language. Elderly people are called by Dada. And even in Bengali, they say Dada to elder brother. In many languages, it's a little different. You go to South India, they will say Anna, Anna for elder brother. And different words. So when we say Bap Dada, and Bap is Shiv Baba, father of souls, and Brahma Baba is Dada, means elder brother. He is also a soul. But because very, very old soul, right from the beginning of the cycle, this soul of Brahma Baba, who was this also the soul of Sri Krishna, and he has come through 84 births, and now he is in his last birth in an elderly body, but still he is a soul who has taken 84 births, and therefore as an elder brother we say Dada. So Brahma Baba is our elder brother and Shiv Baba is our father, because Shiv Baba is also the father of Brahma Baba. So this word Bap Dada is coined word. Nobody usually uses this word for otherwise, you know. But why it has been coined? Why? Because now at the confluence age, Bap and Dada are in the combined form. Now Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba cannot be separated, we say. Before Shiv Baba adopted Brahma Baba, Brahma Baba was an ordinary man. He was a jewel merchant dealing in business of jewels. So he was very prosperous, no doubt, but very royal, very royal, very dedicated, a great devotee. Very, very special soul. In the whole cycle, this soul had a very special part to play. And therefore, as an elder brother, how God uses his elder son for this cause of establishment of the golden age. So when we understand Bap Dada, we will now try to understand how this part of Bap Dada together has been going on for the past 80 years. Because before, Brahma Baba did not know anything. He was a devotee. He was a devotee of Vishnu. He didn't even know that he could become Vishnu. On the contrary, he thought Vishnu was his personal God and he was worshipping Vishnu all the time. He was meditating on Vishnu all the time. And he thought he was only like a server, that's all. Very, very surrendered soul and worshipper of Vishnu. He never knew that he could become like Vishnu. He could become so worship-worthy. He always thought that he was only a worshipper. He was an ordinary human being. He was impure. He was a worldly man, a family man, that's all. But of course his sanskars were very, very royal. Much better than even the royal people, the kings and queens of that time. That was his royalty. And how God chose him to be his medium. So many people wonder, why did God have to choose such a medium? And they question. There are two types of questions. One type of question is that, does God really descend in this world? And if the answer they accept as yes, then the second question they ask is, why in his body? He could come in anyone else's body too. And Baba very lightly answers this question. Of course he could come in anyone else's body too. But again the same question would continue, why his body, why not anyone else? So in whosoever body he comes, the same question can still arise. Why in his body and not in anyone else's body? But then Baba himself, Shiv Baba, gives the answer that this soul is that soul who was first separated from Shiv Baba, from Paramdham. So Sri Krishna's soul was the first one to come in this world from Paramdham. And after him, of course, all the deity souls followed. And from him, really, the golden age started, the first prince of golden age. And therefore, as the first prince of golden age, as the first devotee of copper age, because in copper age, devotion started, and Brahma Baba's soul was the first soul to start bhakti, to start devotion. He was the first one to get a vision of Shiv Baba, on the basis of which he started worshipping the Shivling, the Somnath temple, Baba says. He was the king, King Vikramaditya at that time. The first king after copper age began and started doing devotion, bhakti. And now, at the end of Kali Yuga, when God has to come, He has to change worshippers into worship-worthy ones again. So the first worship-worthy one becomes the first worshipper one, and then the first human being through whom God creates worship-worthy souls, or who makes souls worship-worthy, who creates deities. So this soul has a very, very special role to play in the whole cycle. And if this is understood, then it's very easy to understand why in his body. Because he's the same soul. And as Shiv Baba came in his body, he said to him that you do not know about your births. I only reveal to you about your births, that how you took 84 births. And Brahma Baba got the third eye of wisdom from Shiv Baba when Shiv Baba entered in his body. But the royalty was always there, maybe all 84 births, that even in the last birth, so much royalty there was, because Baba used to have business with the kings of Bharat at that time, because kings were ruling in India. Each district had its own king. The Britishers were also ruling, but the kings had the little kingdoms on which they were ruling. And Baba had business with them. And those kings would tell Baba, "Baba, you are a businessman, but your royalty is greater than even us who are kings. You are better than us, although you are not a king. So your royalty is so great." So Baba used to say that, "Well, God knows best. Today I am not a king, and my royalty is that elevated. But God knows best why He made me a king," because they would tell Him that God made a mistake, that He made you a businessman and He made us kings. So Baba would say, "No, God never makes any mistake. There must be some secret behind it." And what was the secret which Shiv Baba revealed to him? That you are the first prince of golden age. So in your last birth, you're an ordinary person. You're no more a king in this last birth. But your sanskars are higher than even that of a king. So that was the royalty of Brahma Baba. So once we have understood Bap Dada, then how Shiv Baba, the Supreme Being, the Supreme Father, descends in the body of Brahma Baba. This morning in the Murli, Baba mentioned that Brahma Baba didn't even know when Shiv Baba came in his body. that time, you know, that second, Baba didn't know how Shiv Baba came in his body and started speaking through his mouth. It was something very strange for Brahma Baba, because Brahma Baba was a devotee of Vishnu. He wasn't even a devotee of Shiva, he wasn't. And Baba says the reason behind this is the worship worthy becomes a worshipper and starts worshipping his own worship-worthy form. And that was what Brahma Baba was. He started worshipping his own worship-worthy form, which was the form of Vishnu. Of course, he believed in many gods and goddesses, but then he was a strong devotee of Vishnu. He used to visit all the temples, also Shiva temples. He even went to Amarnath in the Himalayas. But his idol, his personal god was Vishnu. He would always keep his photograph with him. In his house also he had made a very big foot picture, you know, painted a picture of Vishnu on one of his walls in his house. And in his pocket he always kept a photograph of Vishnu. Whenever he would find time, he would just take it out and try to concentrate on Vishnu. So that was there. So when this picture becomes clear that why God comes in his body, then the other questions arise. Why does God has to take a human form? Because God's children are in human body. And if God would do all in an incorporeal way from the soul world, the task of transformation, his children would not understand him. So God had to become like his children. Many people think that if we do bhakti, do a lot of devotion, dedication, then one day we will reach God. Baba says, no, that's not the right approach. To meet God, if you do bhakti, it's not possible, because as people do more and more bhakti, what happens? There's a downfall, more and more downfall. So there's no rising. It's only falling down from sato to rajo to tamo. This is the norm of the cycle, that everything has to degrade from higher level to lower level. And therefore there was no question of doing bhakti and rising and meeting God. But then Baba says, as the downfall happens, gradually, my children reach to such an extent of downfall that they cannot awaken or rise on their own. They need an outer support. So Baba says, at this time the whole world is in a deteriorated stage and they are praying to God, calling out to God, wanting purification, wanting peace, wanting happiness, wanting strength, and expecting that God will come. And Baba says, yes, I do come, but not everyone recognizes me, because I do everything in a very incognito way. And those who are of the deity religion, they will understand me accurately. What I do, how I do, when I come, and all these questions. But those who are not to come in the golden age, even if you keep giving them jnana for whole days, still they will not understand. And some who are of the deity religion, you tell them just once and that's enough for them. That becomes a basis for them to stand on their own feet and make effort to go to heaven. So this is what Bab Dada says, that I come at this time, at the end of Kali Yuga, the end of one kalpa and the beginning of the next kalpa. And we say, yes, for the past 80 years, God has been doing this task. So when this is understood, then the question arises that how is God's work going on now? And how Bap and Dada are working together? Because Shiv Baba needs a medium. His children are in the physical form. So he too needs a physical form to come and meet his children, to speak to his children, to give not only gyan to them, but to become a living example for them to follow. But because he does not have a body of his own, he has to take the body on loan, as what Baba says. We take on, you know, loan, we take, we want to buy a house, then we take loan from the government, from the bank, and then we pay back in installments, so we take on loan. And therefore Baba says, I have to take on loan, means I don't have a body of my own. And of course, I give that soul a lot of benefit by making him the prince of golden age. So many people question, okay, we understand all this, but there must be other souls also. Why him? Then somebody once asked me, if God has to do the task of world transformation, then why doesn't he come in a body of a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, and through his wealth serve the whole world? Why so many years? It's so easy to serve through wealth. Why all these years of effort? Because a lot of effort is required to really build such a big, like a, it's like an empire built, no, is it not? Centers in 140 countries, and how Baba's children of different and languages serving the whole world. And also we have to serve the media, the television, the newspapers. Of course, a lot of money is involved in that. So many questions asked. Many people ask questions, why could not God come in a millionaire and do the task? Because with his money, everything could be done very easily. It would not have taken 80 years to come, you know, up to now. But Baba says, no, because an empire is being built, a big kingdom is being established. So each one's drop by drop, that is going to be used. If one person would give billions and billions and billions of dollars, whatever, only his benefit would happen, or only he would be benefited, he would become the king. Well, what about the whole kingdom? Even they have to make effort, no, and serve through their body, mind and wealth. And therefore, each one's helping finger is necessary, not just one person. And then some say, well, God could come in a Bala Brahmachari, the one who's pure from birth. Because Brahma Baba's lokik, I can say, he was a family man. He had children, you know. He was a very experienced person. But of course, living in a family, his wife and children and all that. So not that he was leading a pure life before. So if God is so pure, why doesn't he come in a pure person who is like a celibate from birth? Because Baba was not celibate from birth, he had a family. So Baba gives the reason why not in a person who is pure from birth. Because Baba has to establish a pure family life. Golden age is pure family life. And for establishing pure family life, we need an example. How someone who is an impure family life transforms and comes in pure family life. So it's not that Baba became a sannyasi. He didn't renounce his family. His wife, his children were living with him. They lived with him. And therefore there was no question of he being called a sannyasi. You know. And It was an example for everyone to follow. Live in your family and live a pure life. That is what Brahma Baba was. Then some may say, but then he could come in as sannyasi. Okay, who was in family life before and then renounced everything and became a renunciate. But Baba says, no, even that is not possible. Why? Because Baba is not establishing a religion of sannyasis. That was Shankaracharya who did it. So Shivacharya. So pure family life has been the norm right from the beginning of this world, this in the cycle. Sannyas religion or the religion of sannyasis is only an offshoot. It's only one branch which helps to protect the purity of the world, which helps, just helps, so that not a lot of damage is done. And because of the purity of the sannyasis, the world today is still surviving, thriving. Otherwise, this would have just been finished, you know. But because of the saints, the sages, the sannyasis, the gurus, the mahatmas, and you know, all these religious people who are leading a celibate life, it's because of them that the world is still there, you know. Their purity is sustaining the world. But otherwise, it's pure family life and impure family life. And therefore, God will not come in a sannyasi. And then somebody said, why not a small child? God would come in a small child, you know. But small child is not experienced. The one in whom he enters has to be like a father. How can a small child be called a father? So an old man, matured person, family man, experienced person, not multi-billionaire, and not even a pauper, not like a poor man, but middle class, middle. So very experienced person, and Brahma Baba was the most accurate one, because Shiv Baba came in his body when Brahma Baba's Laukik body was 60 years old. And 60 years is an age when you have had a lot of experience in life and now it is time for you to retire. 60 years. In Hindi they say, Saat to lagi laat. When you are 60 years, it's time to take a support. Till the age of 60, you don't need anyone's support. But after you reach 60 years, you need some support to help you. And after 60 years, little bit of disinterest for the world, because so much you've already experienced in life. But when one is young, the interest, the excitement and all that is there. But at the age of 60, everything has finished. It's all experienced and then become well experienced. And that is what Brahma Baba was. In every field, very well experienced. And therefore, he was fit to be called a father. In Laukik world, he was also a grandfather, you know, because he had grandchildren too. So we can say, yes, Brahma Baba was the right person for Shiv Baba to come and impart knowledge to the souls of the world. And I would now like to share that when Shiv Baba did descend in the body of Brahma Baba, how Brahma Baba was taken unaware. It's not that he already knew that Shiv Baba would come in his body. No, no, he didn't know anything. He was a devotee. And how first Shiv Baba was very clever in how he changed Brahma Baba's mentality, his understanding, his attitude, everything, how Shiv Baba changed. And it was very, very gradual. And Brahma Baba was not even aware that something was happening. But something was happening, of course, that was there. But what was happening, that Baba was not aware. And how Brahma Baba transformed, Shiv Baba transformed Brahma Baba, it's not that he gave him the vision of himself immediately, no. Brahma Baba got Shiv Baba's vision much later on. The first vision which Shiv Baba gave to Brahma Baba was Vishnu. And that was very accurate. If Shiv Baba would have given or shown him his own vision of light, Brahma Baba would not have understood at all, because he was not a devotee of Shiva. And because he was a devotee of Vishnu, Shiv Baba very cleverly gave him a vision of Vishnu first. And when Baba got a vision of Vishnu, he felt that he got a vision of God, because that was his God. But then the blessing which Vishnu gave him while showing him his vision was, "You are like me. Aham tat tvam. You are like me." So when Baba got this blessing, "You are like me," from Vishnu, Baba was surprised. How can I be like Vishnu? I can't be like Vishnu, because I'm his devotee. I'm his server. I'm impure. He's so pure. How can I be called like him? But then this made his mind work. What does it mean? What did Vishnu mean when he said, "You are like me"? And to get an answer, he had to go to many gurus, because that's what he was. He was having many gurus. And when he asked his guru, "What does this mean? How can Vishnu say, 'You are like me'? I'm not like him." You know, if like if Dadi tells you, "You are like me," you say, "Oh no, Dadi, you are so great. How can I be like you?" But Dadi will say, no, you can become like me, although you are not like me now, but you can become like me." So that's what Vishnu told Baba, "You are like me." And when his guru was asked, "What does this mean?" Then his guru said, "Maybe Vishnu, God," according to that guru, for him also Vishnu was God, because people worship Vishnu considering Vishnu to be God. "Maybe God wants you to do something great. God wants you to do some task which is quite a difficult one, and maybe only you can do it. That is why God blessed you that you are like me." So Baba said, "God wants me to do some work for him. What work does he want me to do? In what way can I help God? He's almighty. What can I do for him?" But then his guru told him, "Maybe God wants you to do something very, very elevated and you can help him. But what he wants you to do, that even I don't know. So you need to go into some state of solitude. Go into deep silence. And maybe in that state of solitude, of silence, you'll get the answer by God himself, because even I don't know." So he went to Banaras and he was there for nearly a month. And in total silence and complete solitude, because in business and worldly life, he couldn't understand what really God wanted him to do. And there he got vision of destruction of this old world. He got the vision of the golden age, and that there was a voice which told him that, "You have to establish this world. You have to create this new world. You are now responsible for creating golden age." So God gave him a task. And when he heard this voice that God wants, that God is wanting you to establish golden age, he said, "How can I establish golden age? What do I have to do for that? I don't know." So he was totally confused. He never ever thought of it that he could do such a task of God. He was a businessman. You can understand, businessmen have such limited ideas, only business, money, customers, that's all, no? Not of establishing golden age. Nobody will think of it. But then, what do I have to do for that? He didn't know. Again, he had to maybe think of another moment when that answer would also come. But then he couldn't wait for long, you know, to have more, to go into more solitude, more silence. But one thing came in his mind, that I must first of all give up my business. Because if my business is there and my family is there and all these things, then I cannot do God's work. So he went to his partner and told him everything, and first thing he did was wound up his business and went home, went back to Hyderabad, Sindh. His business was in Kolkata, which was like the gateway to India for the Britishers also. They used to come to India from Calcutta by ship. And so his very big business was there, big showroom of jewelry of diamonds. That's what he sold. And when he told his partner that I want to wind up everything, his partner was also shocked. Such a flourishing business, and his customers were kings and queens of that time of Bharat, and also the Britishers, so well off. So he was quite well off too. But then he didn't really care. And he felt all those diamonds were like stones for him, you know. He didn't really feel any attraction towards those diamonds. So this was a stage where that disinterest came in him. And that disinterest made him really go into deep silence more and more. And then when he returned home, having wound up his business, his family was also shocked. But what happened to him? They did not understand him. But he came back and used to sit in silence at home. And then how there he got a vision of Shiv Baba, the light. And then he saw how that light entered into his body. This is what he experienced. That light came very close and entered into his body. And that light, the supreme light, Shiv Baba gave him his own vision. And that entered into his body. And then in that state of vision itself, how Shiv Baba uttered from his mouth his own, Shiv Baba's own introduction. I am the embodiment of light. I am Shiva. I am the embodiment of pure purity, peace, happiness, love, power. I am Shiva. So God Shiva gave his own introduction through his mouth, which even Brahma Baba did not realize. He couldn't get it. It was his family members who heard this, especially his daughter-in-law, Baba's daughter-in-law. She was the one who heard Shiva was speaking through the mouth of Brahma, giving his own introduction. But Brahma Baba at that time was in a state of vision. He was having a vision of Shiva at that time, that light form. And then when he came back from that state of vision, his daughter-in-law, his wife, his children, they started asking him, what did you experience? Because he was totally in a lost state, in that vision state. His eyes were closed and he was in such a powerful vibration on his face that his family was surprised. What was he experiencing? They wanted to know. And when they asked him, he just mentioned two words. He said, there was some light. There was some might. And that light and might wants me to do something. That's all. That's what he said. Wants me to do something. But what do I have to do? I don't know. So that brought him more and more confusion. More in him. And then after that, he didn't know what he was supposed to do. But then how Shiv Baba started working through him, because Shiv Baba had already prepared him. First of all, that state of disinterest for the world came and he wound up his business. Now the second part was that souls were to be attracted towards him. So how could souls be attracted towards him? It was through visions again. So other souls got visions from Brahma Baba. They saw Sri Krishna, an old man dressed in white, and all of a sudden that form disappears and Krishna appears. And people at home who had not known Brahma Baba, they also got visions of Krishna, and Krishna telling them that if you want to meet me, go to him, and they will see Brahma Baba standing. And that one would disappear and Krishna there. Krishna would disappear and Brahma there. That's what they saw. Dadi Prakashmani, who was the chief administrative head for 38 years, she saw this, she got this experience sitting at home. She did not know Brahma Baba. And how that experience which she got pulled her to Baba. Mama brought her Laukik mother to Baba. And her mother got vision of Krishna through Brahma Baba. And immediately mother and daughter surrendered. So in this way how they surrendered. And Baba was surprised. How are people coming? I'm not inviting them. I'm not inviting anybody. But people are being attracted. It became big news. If you want to meet Krishna, go to this man. And there you will get visions of Krishna. And Baba used to say, I'm not doing anything. So you can see how everything was taken in a surprising state for Brahma Baba. What was happening? Even he didn't realize. And three revolutionary acts happened, which took Brahma Baba also by surprise. The first revolutionary act was visions at the beginning, which pulled souls towards Baba. And the second revolutionary act was women were attracted more. Kumaris, mothers, women, not men. Men less, comparatively. Where whole families came, that was different. But otherwise, kumaris, young kumaris, and women, mothers. They were pulled towards Baba. And the third revolutionary act was that how Shiv Baba gave like an ordinance. It was like a pledge which everyone had to follow. And that pledge was that you have to now lead a pure and yogi life. A holy life and a yogi life. And that's what they pledged. That we will lead a pure and yogi life. And when this pledge they gave, they said, it was a big revolution. Especially from the parents of those young girls. What Dada Lekhraj, what have you done? These young kumaris who don't even know what the world is. And you have made them give up, you know, make a pledge, a promise, like a vow, that we will lead a pure life. They don't even know what purity or impurity is. How have you made them take a vow in this way? And Baba would say, well, it's not me. I don't know. I'm not doing anything. It's not my power working here. But who knew Shiv Baba? They didn't know Shiv Baba. They would say only Brahma Baba. They didn't know that it was the Almighty working through him. So it was for him also it was something very strange, which Brahma Baba also did not realize. Brahma Baba used to read the Gita every morning. You know, it was without fail, whether he would be in a train traveling early in the morning after waking up, he would take a shower and the first thing he would do was read the Gita. And if he was traveling with his family, he would read the Gita to them. If he was at home, he would read the Gita in the midst of his family and other relatives and friends and neighbors and all would come to hear from him. Sometimes he would invite some saints at home, some gurus at his home and they would do some sermons or maybe satsang or you know, would call a spiritual gathering and they used to recite shlokas from the Gita or from any other scriptures. So every morning, this was a routine. And when Shiv Baba started doing his magic, how the people would come. And Baba thought that these sisters or kumaris or mothers, they are interested more and more in knowing the Gita. So what he did, there is a printing press in Gorakhpur in UP. Which prints the Gitas, many Gita print in the printing press for printing the scripture Gita. So he ordered for 500 Gitas, you know, from Gorakhpur printing press. And he gave to each one that I will recite the Gita, you also recite with me. And the moment, and the book would be in his hand, the Gita. Even before opening the Gita, Shiv Baba would come and start speaking. Yes. And then Baba used to wonder, I didn't speak, who spoke through me? Yes. So this made him very confused. But everybody else thought, yes, this one is speaking. They also didn't know Shiv Baba, they didn't understand. Their faith was in him because they used to get visions of Krishna and they used to believe as Krishna to be God of the Gita, you know. But then gradually, as some sisters would go into trance, they used to see that light entering in his body, you know. Shiv Baba coming in his body. They would be in vision and then the eyes would be open and they could see Shiv Baba entering his body and Shiv Baba speaking through him. Which he did not understand. Brahma Baba didn't understand, but they understood, who were trance messengers. And they would come and tell Baba, like it was in today's Murli also. Baba said, I didn't even know that how everything was happening. So he was not reciting the Gita, but Shiv Baba was speaking the Gita and the book would be closed. No, Shiv Baba doesn't need the reference of any book, no? Shiv Baba will talk directly as the sermonizer of the Gita. So he didn't take any reference, but Brahma Baba, yes, in his Laukik life he used to do that, so that's what he had in his hand. So these three revolutionary acts happened and how souls came and surrendered to Baba, surrendered. Again, a big commotion in the community. Who is this man? Why is he doing like that? And Baba would say, well, even I don't know. See, this was the confusion at the beginning. And then when Baba saw that so many children have surrendered, because those who surrendered, Baba could not send them back. No, you go away. No. Yes, Baba did tell them that if you want to surrender, you take permission from your family members that I'm surrendering my daughter to Krishna. That's what they did. Even Dadi Prakashman, his lucky father, gave her that letter that I'm surrendering my daughter to Krishna. Because they used to get visions, you know, that was the beauty of it. And that's how a big spiritual family was created. And this spiritual family then, how it went into total isolation again from in Karachi, from 1937-38 until 1950, for 14 years in total solitude, away from the world. First, the beginning was full of commotions, full of strange things happening, full of confusion, full of upheavals also. Many tests came in front of Brahma Baba. People also insulted him. And Baba used to say, I had such a good business. People respected me so much. And see, today because Shiv Baba came in his body, people started insulting him. They didn't know Shiv Baba. They thought this one is doing everything. Attracting women. He said, no, I'm not attracting any women. What do I have to do? Why should I attract women? But they used to see vision of Krishna through him and that's why they were attracted. As he said, I have my own wife. No, my wife was with him. But even she got the vision of Krishna through him. Nirmal Shanta Dadi Baba's Laukik daughter. Even she got vision of Krishna from Brahma Baba. So they saw him differently. And those who got vision saw him differently, but those who did not understand. So that was a difference. But then later on how the realization came, because many people also, you know, as Baba says in today's Murli, Vata Vende Bambar Phatho, means I was going on my path and all of a sudden Shiv Baba caught hold of me. That was what happened. And then so many, lot of negativity against Baba too. Many would say, oh, this man, he's calling himself Krishna and he has about 400 wives. You know, there were 400 who had surrendered. He has 400 wives and he says, I am Krishna, I need 16,108 wives. Because in the Bhagavad it is like that. Sri Krishna had so many 16,108, you know, Patranis, queens. That's what they show. So he has only 400 up to now and he's looking for more. You know? Or some would say that he has got some magic and through that magical power he is, people are able to see Krishna in him. And he would say, no, not at all, I'm not doing anything. But then this one, over a little over 1 year all these things happened. But after that, when they went and stayed in Karachi, well, that was a place of total peace. They stayed for 14 years in Karachi, and during those 14 years, when they were in total isolation, away from the world, doing the tapasya, intense meditation, complete like different, you know, and filling power in themselves, it is during that time of 14 years that the world changed. So many changes came in the world. The first change was the Second World War. The Second World War happened from 1939 until 1945. 6 years. And as Baba was saying a few days ago, that when Shiv Baba started this work of establishment, at that time Shankar also started the work of destruction. So it was at that time in 1936, if you try to remember the history of science, how these scientists were able to discover the, you know, first they discovered the atom, and then how in an atom there are electrons, protons and neutrons and the nucleus, and how they are isolating around the nucleus. And if there's release of one electron, plutonium, uranium, you know, these very electro, these are very, very active elements. So how they produce so much energy that an atom bomb could be created. You know, this for laymen to understand. And that's what Einstein, he gave the equation E equal to mc square. You must have studied. So how the energy released is so much, immense, just from one atom. So if one atom can release so much energy, then what about many atoms? How much energy could be released? And that's how they could invent an atom bomb. So it was at that time, on one hand, in Bharat, we say in Sindh, where the Sindhu River is there, the original, we say, the great ancient culture of Bharat. Some, you know, today also when they excavate, they dig, they get so many old antique things which they don't find anywhere else, but they find near the Sindhu, you know, the culture there, which is now in Pakistan and part of Bharat and Sindh actually. So how from Sindh, from Sindhu River, the word Sindh came, and then Hind, Hindu and Hindustan and, you know, Hindi, all these words have come. But the original word is Sindhu. It's a Sindhu culture. Anyway, so this was in Sindhu culture only, Hyderabad, Karachi, all that area. And then Shiv Baba did that task for 14 years there. And on the other hand, first of all, the Second World War, and then in India, in Bharat, the Britishers were ruling. And during those 14 years, there was great commotion in Bharat, because Mahatma Gandhi had said that these Britishers should leave India. And how in 47, India and Pakistan became separated, you know, India became independent, but not without the partition of the country, two countries, India and Pakistan. Only then the Britishers left the country, otherwise they would not have left so easily. So wherever the Britishers went, how they started ruling in that country, divide and rule policy. They divided the people and ruled over them. And then when they left the country also, they divided the countries. So wherever you see the division of countries, the Britishers were ruling them and they divided. So That's why you see in the whole world there is so much of commotion. There are enemies between neighborly countries. And well, this is all history, you know. But India also was divided by the Britishers in this way, and India and Pakistan came. And still today we say, yes, Pakistan is our enemy, you know. Always, both are become, they both have atom bombs. Even India has, Pakistan has. So whatever India has, Pakistan wants. Whatever Pakistan wants, India wants too, you know, so that they are ready to fight against each other. And at that time, when the Second World War took place, Baba was asked, Shiv Baba was asked, Baba, is this the end? Shiv Baba would say, no, this is only a rehearsal. Only a rehearsal. And when India, Pakistan was separated, there was so much civil war in India at that time. So again Baba was asked, Baba, is this destruction? Baba said, no, it's only a rehearsal. India-Pakistan war. Because all the Muslims who were in Bharat, they were told to go to Pakistan, and all the Hindus there were told to go to India. Actually, that country became a Muslim country, but India was a secular country. It didn't become a Hindu country. Secular country. But the Hindus there, they had only two options. Either go to India, if you are a Hindu, or you become a Muslim. Otherwise, be killed. That was the third option. And who wanted to be killed, so they preferred to leave everything and come to India, and they lived here as refugees. But then the Muslims, the Hindus were against the Muslims then here, and they killed the Muslims, the Muslims killed the Hindus. Oh my, it was a big thing. It's a big history of how India and Pakistan were divided. Anyway, but Baba's children continued to live in Karachi. How Baba took care of them so lovingly. They did not even know, because if no news is like good news, no? No news is good news for them. But many who were like the terrorists or who were creating havoc there against the Hindus, they would come and ask, who are you? What religion do you belong to? So these sisters were Shiv Shaktis. They would say, Baba would tell them to say that our religion is humanity. We are the religion of humanity. We are serving humanity. We have no bodily religion, only soul religion. You are all souls. And then the chief minister of Sindh, he actually gave them a lot of protection. And therefore nothing happened to these sisters. And they were all women, no, mostly women. And therefore they stayed protected. Even after the partition of India and Pakistan took place in 1947. And then 1950, when India became a republic, everything quietened down and the constitution was made, then Baba, Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba that now go to Bharat, because Bharat is going to become the lighthouse of the world. Bharat is going to give peace to the world. Bharat is a spiritual land which is going to show the path of spirituality to the world. And go to a mountaintop. This is what Baba, the trans messengers brought messages to tell Baba. And that's why they came to Mount Abu. So Mount Abu is very close to Karachi. When you go to Baba's rock, you see opposite is a big rock there, mountain there. You know, Baba's rock, you go to see sunset. So just behind that big mountain is Karachi. It's not far from here. This is the western part of India. So that side is Pakistan. And so this was the closest hill station in Bharat, coming from Karachi here. And see how now Baba is doing this work. And when they came to Mount Abu, Mount Abu was the most remote place in the whole world. Nobody came here except the kings of Rajasthan. They used to come and spend only 3 months here because it was like the summer capital. It was very cool here, otherwise hot in other places of India. Rajasthan, very hot, more like a desert than anything else. This was like an oasis in a desert, Mount Abu. So So they used to spend 3 months here, and then April, May, June, 3 months are very good months here. But then July, August, September, too much rainfall. August was called the month of disgust. So much rainfall. And September onwards, October until March, very cold. So October to March, very cold. April, May, June, very good months. And that's only 3 months are very good. And the people used to come only for 3 months here. 9 months, hardly anybody would come. It was like a tribal belt. All the tribal people, the aboriginals staying here. Very backward. And but Baba brought everyone here. And when they would ask Baba, "Baba, where have you brought us? Nobody comes here." Baba said, "Don't worry, the whole world will come here one day." Well, now we are seeing the whole world having come here. Yes, you can clap for yourself. So when Baba used to say this, we used to wonder, how is it possible? How is it possible? But now we are seeing how it is possible. And Gulzar Dadi was the first soul to get a vision.